My friends, the message of Fatima is really a historic, monumental message within the historic overall Age of Mary. As mentioned in previous lectures, in a certain sense, the apparitions that take place before Fatima lead up to it, and authentic apparitions after Fatima seek its fulfillment, particularly in the fulfillment of what is called the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Now, going from Lourdes to Fatima, you have, again, in the message of Lourdes, this call for prayer and penance in reparation to God and for the conversion of sinners. So, reparation, vertical, co-redemption, horizontal, if you will. Reparation offered to atone to God, and we'll see very clearly in the Fatima message, also to Our Blessed Mother's Immaculate Heart for sins of humanity and conversion of sinners for the salvation of our brothers and sisters, as well as our own conversions. Now, at Fatima, you have the same message, but there's much greater concretization and specificity on how to do prayer and penance for these intentions. For example, at Fatima, where, of course, she comes as Our Lady of the Rosary, and keep in mind these titles are wonderful, really inspired summations of the emphases of these particular apparitions. She comes not as Our Lady of Fatima, but as Our Lady of the Rosary. She specifies 5 decades of the Rosary daily, not only for personal sanctification, but for peace in the world. And keep in mind, historically, the Fatima message is happening during World War I. In the midst of the killing of 11 million people. So the daily call for rosary, there is the specificity of devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary as a remedy for the problems in the world. So once again, avoid any idea that Marian devotion like rosary or consecration is just kind of a personal pious or pietistic act for the individual. It changes the course of human history. It's a release of supernatural grace. It's a release of supernatural power. And it also leads to the personal sanctification of the individual, but it's personal and global. Now, we also have the call, instead of just a general call of penance, as we have at Lourdes, beautiful as it is, at Fatima, Our Lady, and even we'll find in the 1916 and 1917 angel apparitions, the angelic apparitions, which prepared the way for Our Lady's apparitions on May 13th, starting on May 13th of 1917, the combined directive is to make of everything you can a sacrifice and offer it to the Most High, for He is grieved by the sins of humanity. There's a grieving, there's a sadness, there's a suffering because of humanity's sins. Now, keep in mind these apparitions take place in Fatima, Portugal, to 3 young children, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta. So there are approximately 10, 8 and 7 when these series of apparitions take place. And it is to these children that heaven is saying, make of everything you can a sacrifice. Our Lady will say, as well, St. Michael the Archangel, and I should specify because we're not going to have time to go through these, there are 3 angelic apparitions which prepare the way, 2 in 1916 and 1 in 1917 prepare the way for Our Lady's apparitions, and these are by the guardian angel of Portugal, St. Michael the Archangel. And so you have St. Michael instructing these young children to make sacrifices. In one of the angelic apparitions, St. Michael will say, you know, what are you doing? Pray, make of everything you can a sacrifice. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are receptive to your prayers and your sacrifices. So it's such so clearly a call of penance and reparation, but here again, more specificity than we had at Lourdes on how to do this. We also have the devotion, which we now call the 5 First Saturdays, a devotion which calls for 5 consecutive first Saturdays, as we'll discuss, of communion, confession, 5 decades of the rosary, and 15 minutes of meditation on one or any of the 15 mysteries, now 20 mysteries of the rosary, with the intention of making reparation to Mary's Immaculate Heart. My friends, you can't understand Fatima unless you understand reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which we'll get into. Now, we'll also talk about the third secret of Fatima, which was revealed in 2000 by St. John Paul II. And I would preface our comments here with the overall directives and pastoral wisdom of people like St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI in saying Fatima is imminently relevant for the 21st century. This is not ancient history. It's not even something completed, as Sister Lucia will say. We're only in the third day of the week of Fatima. I'll explain what she means by that to the extent that she explained it in a 1999 interview with the late and renowned Marian devotee John Haffer. So let's get to the message. I'm going to go to, arguably, the single most important Marian message in the 20th century. It's hard to designate any individual message as such, but in terms of history, global significance, and significance for the Church, what is given and what is prophesied on July 13, 1917, seems to have a precedence among all individual Marian messages. So I want to read through this message. It's a lengthy message. I'll read through it and offer some comments of highlighting what, in a very pregnant message, could be even elements even more quintessential than the overall message. Again, this is from the memoirs of Lucia, and she's the primary visionary at Fatima. I quote, "A few moments after arriving at the Cova de Aria near the Homolc, where a large number of people were praying the rosary, we saw the flash of light once more, and a moment later, Our Lady appeared on the Homolc." And then you have the dialogue between Lucia and Our Lady. "What do you want of me?" I asked. Our Lady, "I want you to come here on the 13th of next month to continue to pray the rosary every day in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary, in order to obtain peace for the world and the end of the war, because only she can help you." Lucia, "I would like to ask you to tell us who you are and to work a miracle so that everybody will believe that you are appearing to us." Our Lady responds, "Continue to come here every month. In October, I will tell you who I am and what I want, and I will perform a miracle for all to see and believe." Lucia, "I then made some requests, but I cannot recall just now what they were. What I do remember is that Our Lady said it was necessary for such people to pray the rosary in order to obtain these graces during the year." And she continued, "Sacrifice yourselves for sinners. And say many times, especially whenever you make some sacrifice, O Jesus, it is for love of you, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary." As Our Lady spoke these last words, she opened her hands once more, as she had done during the 2 previous months. The rays of light seemed to penetrate the earth, and we saw, as it were, a sea of fire. Plunged in this fire were demons and souls in human form, like transparent burning embers, all blackened and burnished bronze. Floating about in the conflagration, now raised into the air by the flames that issued from within themselves, together with great clouds of smoke, now falling back on every side like sparks in huge fires, without weight or equilibrium, amid shrieks and groans of pain and despair, which horrified us and made us tremble with fear. It must have been this sight which caused me to cry out, as people say they heard me. The demons could be distinguished by their terrifying and repellent likeness to frightful and unknown animals, black and transparent like burning coals, terrified and as if to plead for succor. We looked up at Our Lady, who said to us so kindly and so sadly, 'You have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go, to save them. God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If what I say to you is done, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. The war is going to end. But if people do not cease offending God, a worse one will break out under the pontificate of Pius XI. When you see a night illuminated by an unknown light, know that this is the great sign given you by God that He is about to punish the world for its crimes by means of war, famine, and persecutions of the Church and of the Holy Father. To prevent this, I shall come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays. If my requests are heeded, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions of the Church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. Various nations will be annihilated. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and a period of peace will be granted to the world. In Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be preserved. When you pray the rosary, say after each mystery, O my Jesus, forgive us, save us from the fire of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are in most need. After this, there was a moment of silence, and then I asked, Is there anything else more you want of me? Our Lady, no, I do not want anything more of you today. Then, as before, Our Lady began to ascend towards the east until she finally disappeared in the immense distance of the firmament. A remarkable message, a message so packed with historical prophecy, many of which have already been fulfilled in ways that have totally baffled contemporary historians at the time. For example, even the idea, the concept that Russia would be a threat to the world was laughed at by the historians in the late 19-teens and the early 1920s. Russia was in great national chaos. It was having a difficult time feeding its own. What kind of threat would Russia be? And yet we have seen the Fatima prophecy to be accurate. So I want to go through and highlight five or six of these principal points. And let's start with Our Lady's call to pray the rosary daily for peace in the world, because she adds a particular tale to that line. She says, again, pray the rosary every day in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary in order to obtain peace for the world and the end of the war, because only she can help you. Now, what does that mean? Only Our Lady can help? What about the Trinity? Are they not concerned about peace in the world? What this tells us is that indeed the Trinity has given the task, the mission, the imperative for peace in the world to the Mother of God. And therefore, the sooner we acknowledge this, that it's by responding and obeying the directives of Our Lady for peace in the world, that we will indeed obtain this peace, which is simply beyond human accomplishment on its own. I think history shows that profoundly and tragically, and certainly the last couple years, last even decades of political efforts alone to solve challenges like the Middle East or what's taking place with Russia and the Ukraine, and certainly the grave and, I believe, diabolical evil of ISIS, shows us that the political, the human is not enough. We need grace. St. John Paul II said this beautifully, as we commented on in his document on the Rosary, saying we're only going to get peace from on high, from the intervention from God from on high through the praying of the Rosary as one of the elements of this. So, peace has been given to the Mother of Jesus, and therefore it behooves us to follow her plan for peace, which includes this call of daily rosary, includes the consecration of Russia, includes the communion of reparation, and as many of the Fatima commentators said, it also includes the proclamation of the Fifth Marian Dogma as elements leading to peace in the world. Back to this message. Secondly, Our Lady tells us how we are to suffer and what we are and to whom we are to offer our sacrifices. She says, and I quote, sacrifice yourself for sinners, and say many times, especially whenever you make some sacrifice, oh, Jesus, it is for love of you. So first of all, Jesus, out of love for Jesus. Number two, for the conversion of sinners, and number three, in reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So, while we are being co-redeemers and offering our prayers and our sufferings and our pains and our heart wounds, our rejections, our betrayal, whether it be family or work or society, while we're offering our physical sufferings, which we can't change anyway, we offer for these intentions, love of Jesus, conversion of sinners, reparation of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Thirdly, we get the vision of hell. Now, this is profound and should be moving. Why would the Mother of God frighten three kids, 10, 8, and 7 years of age, with a vision of hell? Because Our Lady wants us to know with great certainty hell exists, apart from deconstruction or a progressive theological opinions that hell is just a garbage dump on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Our Lady is here to confirm what the Church teaches anyway, and that is hell exists, and it's forever. It's never ending. And so a grisly vision of hell, Lucia says that she cried out. She also would later comment that Jacinta, after that vision of hell, she said, became an adult that day. That was her expression. The seriousness of her prayer and penance, her courage, she would walk up to men who were cursing and using God's name in vain in the local cantina and correct them and defy them from doing it again. I mean, extraordinary acts of courage and maturity for a little girl who would die within the next couple years. All this coming from this vision of hell. After the vision of hell, Our Lady gives remedy. Quote, to save them. You have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. So keep in mind here, my friends, this is God. This is not a Marian ego trip. This is God establishing a devotion to Mary, the daughter of the Father, mother of the Son, spouse of the Spirit. The Trinity wants Mary acknowledged for her role in the redemption and in the ongoing mission of distributing grace. Heaven also wants reparation to her Immaculate Heart, as we'll see. But it's God establishing devotion to Mary's Immaculate Heart. And then Our Lady gives a series of prophecies. For example, what? Well, for example, that a worse war, if man does not change, if we do not respond to this message, a worse war will break out under the pontificate of Pius XI. Now keep in mind, the Pope at the time is Pope Benedict XV. So Our Lady prophesies the name of the following Pope. Also, this event of a second world war, and an indication that God would let us know it was coming by an illumination of the sky at night. Well, this took place in 1938, and many people witnessed this ominous illumination of the European skies for hours. Soon after, Hitler invades Poland, and we do indeed have the beginnings, the fundamental beginnings of World War II. It's amazing. I was giving a talk in New Zealand, and after the talk, and it was on the message of Fatima, in this particular talk, and afterwards a gentleman came up and said, you know, this has such great meaning to me because my father was the first soldier of New Zealand to die in the Second World War, and what was very clear is it didn't have to happen. It was conditional, and that's completely true. We lost 11 million in World War I. In World War II, we'll lose 55 million. Why? Because we do not convert. And Our Lady says that war is a punishment from God. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean that you can't have heroes in war. It means fundamentally, God withholds his protection. He lets fallen man go after fallen man, and huge suffering is the result. So war is a punishment from God insofar as God pulls back his protection and lets the sin of violence and discord takes place. And again, that doesn't take away the legitimacy of a just war, of entering a just war. It's talking about the overall phenomenon which Our Lady rightly identifies. Then she speaks about future sufferings for the church and specifically future sufferings for the Holy Father in light of the rise of the errors of Russia and communism. Again, historians thought this laughable at the time of the apparitions. Russia doesn't have any chance. Russia's what we consider a third world country in our era. It can't even take care of itself. There's grave difficulties. The Tsar being overthrown and the revolution. It's also interesting of the parallel between the role of Lenin and atheistic communism and the juxtaposition, the same timing of these apparitions at Fatima in 1917. But indeed, we would know that Russia would spread its errors throughout the world. The Holy Father would have much to suffer. May 13th, 1981, the anniversary of the first apparition at Fatima, is the day, again, as we've discussed, St. John Paul II is shot. And the call for the consecration of Russia, which we also discussed in our previous lectures, something that St. John Paul II and Sister Lucia says was fundamentally accepted as satisfying the Fatima request as per Our Lady. And that happens on March 25th of 1984. So, still more to come in these prophecies. Many believe, many Fatima commentators believe, that the annihilation of nations has not yet been fulfilled. And it makes us a little mindful of what Cardinal Ratzinger said in his commentary on the Third Secret of Fatima with its release. That is, with nuclear arms, we have the capacity of fulfilling the worst prophecies of Fatima in terms of massive loss of human life. So, again, the untold relevance of Fatima for today, for now. Finally, the promise of victory. In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph, and a period of peace would be granted to the world. And that's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. If we were going to nutshell what the triumph of the Immaculate Heart is, what would we say based on Fatima messages and other corresponding messages? The triumph of the Immaculate Heart is where hearts are united to the Immaculate Heart of Mary so that the church can endure a period of purification. And through this endurance of a period of purification, the church will resurface, not as a new church, there's no modernism in this, but resurface as a refined, a renewed, a humbled, a sanctified church. And that will be the foundation for a era of peace, not only for the church, but for the world. So the triumph of the Immaculate Heart doesn't mean that, you know, the moment that everything that Fatima calls for is fulfilled, that next day there's going to be global peace. It means that indeed, when these things are responded to, which again, many Fatima devotees, and rightly so, include the proclamation of the fifth Marian dogma, when these things are done, this will provide the grace to protect, to sanctify the church, to have the church endure through a period of purification of events, global events, as well as internal events that will lead to the purification of a humbler, more sanctified church, a more united, more faithful church, and as a result as well, a world of peace. Triumph of the Immaculate Heart leading to the reign of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and an era of peace. Now, there's, as a final note in this July 13th, 1917 message, there's the prayer we pray at the end of each decade of the Rosary, the O My Jesus prayer. Notice the beautiful parallelism of that prayer with the prayer of Divine Mercy, praying for those in most need of the mercy of God, in gravest proximity to the reality of hell, which the visionaries had just seen. Now, as a postscript, it is in this message that the third part, along with the, you know, the call of consecration, that the vision of hell, the third part of this message, which is now called the Third Secret of Fatima, was not revealed, of course, when this message was first revealed. It was not revealed ultimately until the year 2000. We will discuss that in our next lecture. But just historically, no, it's given on this day, on July 13th of 1917, The third secret of Fatima is given to Sister Lucia, not yet a sister, at the age of 10, and then released to the world in June of 2000. Let's go from here, and by the way, you know, with the Fatima message, we're talking about six fundamental messages in 1917. We talked about the three angelic apparitions which prepare. Six fundamental messages in 1917, and then what's called the seventh message, which doesn't happen until December 10th of 1925. And that seventh message is to then Sister Lucia, as she is in a convent in Spain. But let's now go, though, rather to the sixth message, which ends the series of messages in 1917. October 13th, 1917, 70,000 onlookers, the message of Fatima and its fruitfulness have attracted that kind of crowd. You have newspaper men from the local paper in Lisbon, not so local, in fact, you know, that's the capital and a prominent city. And when, what would happen today, on October 13th, on this day, was reported in the Lisbon newspapers, the reporters lost their job because it was a very anti-Catholic, very pro-Masonic government in Portugal at the time. And yet the reporters felt obliged to report what they, as two of the 70,000 onlookers, experienced on October 13 at Fatima. So what exactly took place? First of all, you have a message where Our Lady calls the world to stop offending God because he's already much offended, and to continue to offer sacrifice in reparation for sin. Then you have the solar miracle, where the sun, as described by hundreds of the onlookers, experienced by all, evidently by all, the sun dances. That is, it moves in the sky and lets off different colors as it moves. Then it comes down in approaching the earth in such a realistic fashion that people started to do prostrations on the ground, even though it had been raining all through the morning, and many, and several had commenced the process of public confession because they thought it was the end of the world. So clearly was the sun coming down in their perception. There's also something remarkable and physiological about the event, that after the sun obviously comes down and then returns to its place in the sky, the ground is dry, which means it's something more than just an ocular vision. There's something material to what takes place on that October 13th miracle of the Sunday. Well, also simultaneous with this is a series of visions that are given to the children. The first vision is Our Lady with the Holy Family. And Mary is next to Saint Joseph, who holds the Christ child. And St. Joseph and the Christ child bless the world simultaneously. This portends a strong message about the importance of the patron of the universal church, St. Joseph, in the role of the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That is, his intercession, second only to Our Lady's, is going to have a prominent role in bringing about this triumph. Thank God for Pope Francis's great devotion to Saint Joseph, even having an emblem of Saint Joseph, a symbol of Saint Joseph on his papal coat of arms, but this and of course bringing Saint Joseph into each of the four principal Eucharistic prayers. So Saint Joseph is a critical part of the triumph. That's why he appears. There's never an appearance, an element of an apparition that doesn't have a significant meaning. The next vision is a vision of the co-redemptrix, Our Lady of Sorrows, appears. That's also significant as we're talking about this theme of co-redemptrix, which we see on the miraculous medal redoubled on front and back. Mary's crushing the head of Satan on the front. On the back, you have the M connected to the T, to the cross, in the M cross, signifying again co-redemption. So that's from the beginning. At Fatima, you have an image, a vision of the co-redemptrix. So first, the Holy Family, secondly, the co-redemptrix, Lady of Sorrows, thirdly, Our Lady of Mount Carmel with the scapular. What do these three visions signify? Most commentators would agree, joyful mysteries, sorrowful mysteries, and glorious mysteries. Glorious mysteries because the scapular, also very similar to the five first Saturday devotions, offers a promise of eternal life with the proper human cooperation. Very sound theology. So this miracle of the sun puts Fatima on the map in a powerful way. And in 1917, the major apparitions cease, but there's reference to another one yet to come. And that will happen in 1925. The message of Fatima is not approved, and the overall phenomena of Fatima declared as being of supernatural origin until 1930. We're going to take a break here. In the next lecture, we're going to talk about that seventh message on December 10th, 1925, the critical call for the communion of reparation, because some say, well, if the consecration of the world inclusive of Russia was done, why are things so bad? Well, there's other elements that also have to be fulfilled, one of which is the perpetual, the ongoing offering, the ongoing sacrifice, the ongoing prayer of the communion of reparation. We'll also, in our next lecture, talk about the third secret of Fatima. We'll talk about the two possible approaches, either it's past history or it is yet to come, and we'll give some guidelines on how to best interpret that third message of Fatima, which Cardinal Ratzinger said in his interview has no official church evaluation, or I should say, no official church interpretation. It's open for the faithful. So we'll offer some parameters for that in our next lecture. Thank you.